Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at a case that really gets into the heart of corporate power dynamics and really asks the question of, like, who really controls a company?
That's the question.
When push comes to shove.
Absolutely. And that's what this Delaware Supreme Court ruling, Grimes v. Donald, really kind of gets at the heart of.
So give us a quick rundown of the players here before we dive into all the legal ins and outs.
So you've got C.L. Grimes, who is a stockholder in DSC Communications Corporation, and he's not super happy with the way things are going.
Right.
And then on the other side of the coin, you've got James L. Donald, who is the CEO of DSC.
Okay.
And he seems to have negotiated some pretty favorable terms, shall we say, in his employment agreements.
Interesting. Okay.
And then stuck in the middle is the DSC Board of Directors.
Caught between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit more about these favorable terms in these agreements.
Right. So Donald's employment agreements included these clauses that essentially gave him a massive financial safety net and a lot of freedom to act if the board tried to, what they called, unreasonably interfere.
Unreasonably interfere.
With his management decision.
What does that even mean in the real world? Can you give me a real life scenario where this would come up?
Sure. So imagine the board wants to make like a major strategic change in direction and Donald disagrees.
Okay.
Under these clauses, if they push their decision through and it was later determined to be unreasonable interference, Donald could walk away with a huge payout.
Oh, why?
Potentially millions of dollars.
So this is like a golden parachute on steroids.
On steroids, exactly.
I can see why Grimes was a little concerned here.
Yeah, he felt like the board had really given up control by giving Donald so much power.
And protection.
Exactly. He argued that those contract clauses were basically the board abdicating their duty to govern the company, which is a pretty serious accusation.
Yeah, I would imagine. So how did Grimes decide to fight back against this? Did he, like, storm the boardroom or something?
No, he took a more strategic route. He went straight to the courts.
Okay.
And claimed that the board's actions were illegal.
Okay.
Now, he could have filed what's called a derivative claim on behalf of the company.
Right.
But instead, he went for a direct claim.
What's the difference and why does it matter?
Okay, so think of a derivative claim like saying, hey, the company's been wronged and I'm suing to fix it for everyone's benefit.
Okay.
A direct claim is more like this board is messing with own Y rights as a stockholder.
So it's like he's saying, hey, this isn't just bad for the company in general, but it's specifically affecting me.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay, so he went with the direct claim approach. But wait, I think there's a twist here, isn't there?
There is a twist.
Okay, tell me more.
Before he filed the lawsuit, Grimes actually sent a formal demand to the board asking them to fix the situation.
So he said, hey, look, can you get rid of these agreements? We're not happy with them.
Exactly. Kind of gave them a chance to make things right before things got
makes sense.
Really messy.
Did they play ball?
No, they did not.
Yeah.
They refused.
They refused.
They said, no, these agreements are perfectly legal.
Hmm.
We don't think they're stopping us from doing our jobs.
So now he's suing them for not using the very power he's saying that they gave away.
Yeah, it seems a little contradictory, right?
Yeah, a little bit. So what happened?
Well, from a legal standpoint, this move had some pretty big implications.
Okay.
By making that demand, Grimes basically triggered a legal protection for the board.
Oh, no.
It's called the business judgment rule.
Okay, break that down for me. I'm not a lawyer.
In simple terms, it means that courts should generally defer to the decisions made by a board of directors, assuming they acted in good faith.
So it's kind of like innocent until proven guilty.
Basically.
For board decisions.
Yes, exactly.
So how did Grimes's demand actually help the board in this case?
Well, by making that demand, he was kind of acknowledging that the board had the capacity to make a judgment call.
I see.
They said, no, we've considered it and we think it's fine. And the business judgment rule kind of shields them from.
So he kind of shot himself in the foot a little bit there.
A bit.
By making that demand.
Maybe.
So I guess the question remains, did these agreements actually mean that the board had abdicated their power?
Well, that's a great question, and that's what we're going to get into next.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and dive into the court's decision. All right, so the big question is, what did the court actually decide here? Does they think the board had really given up its power?
Well, the court really dug into the details of these agreements, looked at every word, and ultimately they decided that while the wording might have been what they called ill-conceived, it didn't actually stop the board from doing its job.
So even with those huge payouts looming over their heads, the court was basically saying the board still had the authority to act.
Yeah, they acknowledge that those penalties might make the board hesitate
Sure.
to go against Donald.
Yeah.
But it didn't fundamentally take away their legal power.
Okay, so if those clauses didn't cross the line, then where is the line? What would it take for a board to actually completely give up their power?
Oh, that's the question, isn't it?
It is.
That's what everyone wants to know.
Right.
This case gives us some clues, but it doesn't really give us a clear answer.
So it's more of a judgment call on a case-by-case basis.
Exactly. It depends on the specific facts of the situation.
This whole case really highlights that tension between the rights of shareholders
yeah.
and the need for like CEOs to actually be able to run the company.
It's a tough balance.
Right.
You've got this idea of shareholder primacy on one side saying companies should serve their owners.
Okay.
But then on the other side, you need to let CEOs do their job.
Right. You can't have the board micromanaging every little thing.
Exactly. And that's where this concept of abdication comes in. Courts don't want to say a board gave up its duty unless it's super clear.
They really abandon their responsibilities.
Right.
So it's interesting that even a contract that the court itself called ill-conceived
yeah.
didn't automatically mean it was illegal.
Yeah, that's a really important point. It shows that contracts aren't always perfect.
Even when lawyers write them.
Exactly. You can have things that end up being a problem later on.
Right. So it's more about how those contracts are actually understood in the legal system.
Exactly.
Than the specific words themselves.
Yeah. And in this case, the court looked at the big picture.
Right.
Not just a few bad phrases.
It's like they're saying, we get what you were trying to do here.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't say it perfectly.
Exactly.
So what can our listeners take away from this whole thing? Why should they care about a case involving some tech company from years ago?
Well, this case might be old, but the issues are still relevant today.
Okay.
It's about power and accountability.
Right.
And how to balance the interests of everyone involved in a company.
So these kinds of battles can happen anywhere.
Absolutely. And knowing how it all works can help people protect themselves.
Right. So it's not just for lawyers and CEOs.
No, it's for anyone who's invested in a company.
Or works for one.
Exactly.
It's also a reminder that even in the corporate world, there are rules to make sure things are fair.
Yeah. There's a system in place to keep things in check.
Okay. Now, I wanted to touch on something the court mentioned.
Sure.
They said that the size of DSC was part of their thinking.
Yeah.
What do they mean by that?
They were saying that even though the payout to Donald would be huge,
right,
it wouldn't bankrupt the company.
Oh, so the company could handle it.
Exactly. It wouldn't be ideal, but they could survive.
So the scale of everything matters.
Yes. What might be a huge deal for one company might not be for another.
Right. So context is everything.
It is. There's no one right answer for all companies.
Okay. So that's where having good legal and financial advice comes in. Right. You need to make sure things are done the right way for your specific situation.
Exactly. It's not just about following some generic rule book.
You have to really think about the principles behind it.
And apply them carefully.
I think that's a great place to wrap up this part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll be back in a few minutes to talk more about what stockholders can do to make their voices heard. So this deep dive has really kind of shown me just how complicated corporate governance can be.
Yeah.
But I want to bring it back to our listeners.
Sure.
You know, if those big contract clauses didn't mean the board gave up its power, what can regular shareholders actually do?
That's a great question.
To make sure their voices are heard.
It's easy to feel like you don't have much power.
Right.
When you're dealing with huge companies.
Yeah, you're just one person.
But there are things you can do.
Okay.
First of all, be informed.
Yeah, read those reports.
Don't just skim them.
Right.
Really understand what they're saying.
Okay, so pay attention to things like,
look at how the company is governed.
Yeah. Who's on the board?
Mm-hmm.
What are the rules for executive pay?
All the fine print.
Exactly.
Knowledge is power, right?
Absolutely. But it's not enough to just know what's going on.
You have to actually do something.
You have to speak up.
Right, so how can shareholders do that?
Go to shareholder meetings.
Even the virtual ones.
Yes, even the virtual ones.
Okay.
And ask questions.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
Right.
You can also contact the company directly.
Through investor relations or something.
Yes, or even write a letter to the board.
So it's like shareholders are not just passive bystanders.
Exactly. They have a right to be involved.
And a responsibility.
Yeah. And don't forget about the power of working together.
Right. There's strength in numbers.
If you have a concern, find other shareholders who feel the same way.
And join forces.
Yeah, it can make a big difference.
We also talked about some tools that shareholders have.
Mm-hmm.
Remind us what those are.
Sure. Well, shareholders have the right to look at company records.
so they can see what the board is doing?
Exactly.
And if you think something fishy is going on,
okay,
you can always consider legal action.
To protect your interests.
Yes, and the interests of the company.
It's like a game of chess.
It is. You have to know the rules.
And have a strategy.
And this case, we've been talking about Grimes v. Donald.
Right.
It shows that corporate governance is always changing.
Not static.
There are always new challenges.
New interpretations.
And shareholders need to stay informed.
To keep up.
Exactly.
So it's inspiring to think that shareholders can really make a difference.
Yes, they can.
By staying informed, speaking up, and using the tools they have.
It's not just about individual companies.
It's about the whole system.
Yeah, it's about making sure businesses are run the right way.
Ethically responsibly.
For everyone involved.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
I think so.
We've talked about the law, the power dynamics, and even shareholder activism.
It's been a great discussion.
Any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
I'd say don't let corporate governance scare you.
Right.
It might seem boring, but it really affects all of us.
As investors, employees, consumers.
Yeah, we all have a role to play.
In making sure businesses act responsibly.
So stay curious, keep asking questions, and don't be afraid to speak your mind.
That's great advice.
I hope it's helpful.
Well, big thank you to our expert for taking us through this fascinating case.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, we appreciate you tuning in.
We hope you learned something new.
I hope so.
And that you feel a little more confident navigating the corporate world.
Exactly.
Until next time, keep learning. Stay engaged.
Yes.
And remember, your voice matters.
It really does.